Good morning, and welcome to the Tacora Resources Inc. Third Quarter 2021 Results Conference Call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Please note this event is being recorded. Some of the statements made during this call are forward-looking in nature. Statements about future expectations, beliefs, and intentions involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions. If the risks or uncertainties materialize or the assumptions prove incorrect, our actual results may differ materially from those expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact are statements that could be deemed forward-looking statements, including, but not limited to, any statements regarding projections, future performance, strategies, objectives of future operations, anticipated achievement of production milestones, and timeframes for development activities. A discussion of some of the risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could affect the forward-looking statements is set forth in our offering memorandum and the quarterly reports posted on our portal. We assume no obligation and do not intend to update any such forward-looking statements. I would now like to turn the conference over to Joe Brocken, President and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Sarah, and good morning, everybody. The majority of you who are participating in the conference call know me, but for those that don't, my name is Joe Brocken, and I am the new President and Chief Executive Officer of Tacora Resources. I am very, very excited about this opportunity and the future of Tacora, and I have absolute conviction for the success of our business. As many of you may have seen, the board issued a press release on October 22nd following a review of the performance of the Scully Mine. Coming out of that review, the board took decisive action, and I was appointed the President and CEO, and Thierry Martel, our former CEO, has departed to pursue other opportunities. I do just wanna make one comment on this. You know, we at the end of the day, when the board made their assessment, they just weren't seeing the improvement in the business that we know the business is capable of, and therefore the decision was made to make the change. I personally wanna thank Thierry Martel for his efforts and his time as CEO of Tacora. Now, moving into the results for the third quarter of 2021 on a summary basis. It was a challenging quarter for us at Tacora as we saw a decline in revenue, adjusted EBITDA, and operating income, primarily driven by two factors. Number one, the negative impact of provisional pricing adjustments and mark-to-market due to the significant decline in the price of iron ore that we experienced during the quarter, as well as a decrease in production. As noted on slide three, you can see that the benchmark, the P62 benchmark price decreased from $217 per ton at the start of the quarter down to $112 a ton, while the premium, the P65 premium, decreased from $34 at the start of the quarter to $25 at the end of the quarter. In addition to that, we produced 701,000 tons during the third quarter compared to 855,000 tons during the second quarter of 2021. The decrease in production was primarily driven by one event. We did experience unplanned outage on a conveyor, which we refer to as 1B, which transports our ore from the crusher to ore storage, due to a piece of plate steel coming off the crusher, lodging itself onto that conveyor, therefore causing that conveyor to split. This resulted in more than 10 days of unplanned downtime, and as I said, was the primary contributor to the lower than planned production levels. These lower than planned production levels resulted in an FOB cash cost of $102 per dry metric ton for the quarter. But I want to say this, and I want to emphasize this. We still expect to achieve our target cash cost of approximately $45 per dry metric ton once we reach full production. And then lastly, we finished the quarter with total cash on hand of $60 million. We'll jump into all of these summary points in more detail as we progress through the presentation. But first, let's talk about sustainability, health, and safety on slide 4. We continue to see improvement in our state health and safety performance as our all-injury frequency rate moved to 3 at the end of third quarter 2021. And our target AFR is 0.7, and we continue to progress towards reaching that target. As I think about the progress in health and safety, you know, I'll spend just a few minutes talking about the continued, I'll say, implementation and enhancement of our health and safety initiatives, which take the form of the Take 5 safety process and 3-in-a-row safety interactions. I am a big believer in behavioral-based safety systems, and our 3-in-a-row safety interactions will result in continued improved safety, health and safety, benefiting our people, our most important asset. As we move into environmental performance, we were in compliance with all permits. And as we spoke about during Q2, we did have some fugitive dust emissions that we experienced during the second quarter. Those did carry into July. So in order to improve that, we completed approximately 100 hectares of seeding, and we did apply an eco-friendly tackifier to approximately an additional 100 hectares of tailings related to dust suppression. And we did experience one total suspended solids occurrence due to an unplanned tailings event. As we think about, what's going on in the world today, every single day there's an article, multiple articles about the Omicron variant. And we're paying very, very close attention to this and its impact on our business. So I want to give you an update on where we're at, the things we're doing to continue our excellent performance from a COVID-19 risk mitigation perspective. We continue to monitor and report on the virus daily. We continue to enforce a requirement to wear masks at work, and we continue to put in place and monitor and enforce world-class safety practices as it relates to the spread of the virus. And to date, because of these measures, Tacora has recorded 0 COVID-19 cases at the Scully Mine. In terms of vaccination rates within the two primary provinces that we work and where our people come from, the current Newfoundland and Labrador vaccination rate is, as you can see, 95% with one dose, and 91% of the province is vaccinated as of December 2nd. And from a Quebec perspective, they're at 93% with the first dose and 88% fully vaccinated as of December 2nd. As we think about Omicron, again, we're all watching the article to see how the vaccination will protect us against this variant. There's information coming out on a daily basis, and it remains to be seen. What we will do is we will control what we can control, and we will continue to exceed federal and provincial directives as it relates to controlling the spread of the virus. Moving on to page 5, as I touched on in my opening comments, we saw a significant decline in the price of iron ore during the third quarter. The driver for this is really two things, and I would say one in particular, in that the Chinese government announced that they were not going to allow steel companies to produce more steel in 2021 than they did in 2020. And that first announcement was made early in 2021. What we saw through the first half of the year was actually an increase in the production and consumption of steel at approximately a 12% rate year over year. But as we changed from the second quarter to the third quarter, the tone and the level of enforcement we actually started to see. And during the third quarter, we did see a decline in steel production, 14% year over year, as the Chinese government did get very strict as it relates to enforcing steel production restrictions. You know, with that being said, we certainly expect iron ore prices to be significantly lower in the second half. And as I sit here today on December 8th, you know, we know that the spot price is currently $108 a ton. But we do expect the prices to moderate at these levels, and we're all waiting to see what happens to steel production, steel demand post the Olympics in February of 2022. As it relates to the premium for iron ore, coking coal prices in the third quarter remained high, and the premium did remain buoyant throughout the quarter. Lastly, touching on the price of iron ore, as you all know, this is something that we can't control. But what we are focused on is protecting the business against an unanticipated curtailment of the iron ore market or a reduction in the price of iron ore. So we have added some additional P62 fixed price contracts with Cargill through Q3 2022. And there's a slide that summarizes our current hedge book in the back of this presentation that we'll spend a few minutes on. Switching over to Scully Mine operational results and digging into this in a little bit more detail on slide 7, I want to spend some time talking about the performance of the Scully Mine and really from three perspectives, because we have a bit of a bifurcation here in terms of the performance and where the operation sits today. As it relates to mining activities, you can see on slide 7, our total material moved has increased or did increase in the third quarter relative to the prior four periods. And this was intentional as we test the mine to ensure that once the processing plant is ready to receive and our asset reliability improves within the plant, that the mine is in great position to be able to feed the crusher at the rates needed to sustainably produce more than 6 million tons per year of Tacora premium concentrate. And the mine is in great shape to be able to do that. Switching over to the plant, as I touched on again in my opening comments, asset reliability is a challenge for us. And as I touched on, we did have the unplanned maintenance outage related to conveyor 1B, which did significantly impact our production of Tacora premium concentrate during the quarter. In addition to that, we did see a reduction in recoveries in the third quarter relative to prior quarter, and these things combined resulted in the 701,000 tons of production for the third quarter of 2021. As it relates to product quality, like prior quarters, our product quality is excellent and consistent. You can see that we produced the 65.7% Fe product with a very, very low silica at 2.5% and a product manganese of 1.8% in line with where we want to be. And this allows us to achieve a premium price in the market, and that continues to be the case. Lastly, on this slide, our production guidance. Not surprisingly, based on the performance during the third quarter of 2022, we've lowered our guidance to 3.2 to 3.3 million tons for 2021. At this point, as I stated, we sit here on December 8th. I have a high degree of confidence that we will produce between 3.2 and 3.3 million tons unless we have some sort of an unplanned event like we did in the third quarter. But we are working on initiatives to ensure that that doesn't happen again. So what are we doing to get this operation up to full run rate capacity? Because as you can see at the bottom on slide 7, we still expect to reach run rate capacity in the second half of 2022. And again, the team has a lot of conviction for achieving that. So how are we going to do that? On slide 8, I'm going to break this out really into two elements. The first is very tangible, so capital projects. We are focused on completing what we refer to internally as the big three projects, which are listed and summarized at the top right-hand side of this page. First of all, the fines bypass system. We've provided some additional detail here on exactly what this is and why this will translate to a step change in production very quickly at the Scully mine. So the fines bypass system is simply a screening step where we're putting in place fine ore screening in between the crusher and ore storage. The reason we're doing this through sampling is that up to 40% of our ore is already fully size reduced and liberated, meaning we have a very soft, friable ore body, which allows us to screen off that certain size fraction, again, that's fully size reduced and liberated, bypass the 6 mills, and send this slurrified product directly to the spirals. This will allow us to do two things. In the short term, we will be able to, again, bypass the mills. And in order to put this into perspective, in order to produce 6 million tons per year, once the screen plant is fully operational and fully commissioned, we will only need to run approximately 4 of the 6 mills to achieve 6 million tons per annum on a sustainable basis. That will allow us to take the requisite downtime on these mills to properly fix them so that ultimately we can get our uptime, our operating time, up to approximately 90%. And then the long term, we expect to produce more than 6 million tons per year with the addition of the fines bypass system. One might ask, are there other bottlenecks in the flow sheet or in the system? So one of the things that we've identified moving down to the second project listed on the page is our manganese reduction circuits. As you'll recall, we currently have 6 manganese reduction circuits operating within the plant. They have performed flawlessly from day one, and we've decided to put 2 more of these circuits in place to ensure that we have the capacity within the manganese reduction units to beneficiate, again, 6 million tons per year. But they also give us an additional benefit because we believe that the 6 units does that to begin with. By adding 2 additional units, we will be able to improve our manganese reduction circuit iron recovery, and it gives the process additional flexibility to deal with the higher than manganese in the ore should those circumstances occur within the process. And then as I touched on the previous page, recovery. Recovery is something that we focus on every day and will always continue to focus on recovery like any other mining company every single day. What are we doing about it? We're adding scavenger spirals on all 6 mill lines, which will allow us to significantly improve our weight recovery and our iron recovery within the system. We simply will take the existing tailing stream off the existing spirals and send that through a scavenger spiral, and we should see 2-3% of weight yield improvement once these scavenger spirals are fully commissioned. So that's what we're doing from a CapEx perspective to ensure that we get to the 6 million ton per annum run rate in the second half of 2022. The other thing that we're doing that is very, very important to the success of this operation is we are implementing what I call the Tacora Operating System, and most importantly, what the team calls the Tacora Operating System. And simply put, not to get too much into the details on this, but we are implementing standard work, standard processes, using visual management tools to ensure that we can consistently do our work through shift change and ensure that our asset reliability improves. In addition to that, as a foundation, another foundational item for the Tacora Operating System, we are quickly implementing 5S standards within the plant, not just to improve our housekeeping, but to provide a platform for standardization and sustaining the operation in any environment. That work is ongoing since I started, and I'm quite happy about the progress, the initial progress that the team has made on the implementation of the Tacora Operating System. Switching over to financial results, I'm now on slide 10. We've slightly modified this page because we did get some questions, some good questions relative to revenue, not surprisingly, in the third quarter of 2021. So you can see what we've done on this slide is we've broken out our total revenue between our shipments at provisional price, and then we've subtracted or added our final provisional price adjustment, the mark-to-market relative to the cargo contract, and other items, which we've talked about both in the roadshow and on the previous earnings call. But I think it's helpful to break these out so you can see the impact that these items are having on our revenue on a quarterly basis. So you can see during the third quarter of 2021, we generated $99.8 million of revenue based on shipments at provisional pricing. That was offset by $92 million negative adjustment for final provisional pricing, mark-to-market, and other. And the way I'll describe this is if you think about what I talked about on the opening slide, the P62 price of iron ore was lower by more than $100 a ton during the third quarter. And we had about 1 million tons outstanding at the end of the second quarter that final settle and or are subject to mark-to-market adjustments throughout the quarter due to our quotational period within our contract being M+3. Therefore, that resulted or translated to a revenue of $7.7 million. I would point out that by making this change to this table, and looking at the prior quarters, you can see how the provisional price adjustment and mark-to-market were impacting our revenue on a quarterly basis as the price of iron ore was increasing throughout the period. Moving on to cost of sales, you can see our cost of sales was $75.3 million for the quarter compared to $94.2 million during the second quarter of 2021. The primary driver for the reduction in the cost of sales from a dollar perspective is, of course, sales volume. With that being said, our cash cost per ton, excluding royalties, did increase to $102 per DMT compared to $88 per DMT for the prior quarter. The drivers for the increase, of course, were volume. We've touched on the failure of the 1B conveyor, but in addition to that, higher expenditures to repair the plant, specifically the conveyor, incremental contract labor to be able to get the plant back up and running, and then price participation and contract minimums within our rail contract. And then lastly, our cash decreased to $60 million from $120 million at the beginning of the year. And we'll get into more details on all of these things in subsequent slides. On slide 11, let's talk about our average realized selling price. So this is a slide that we've had in the deck the entire time that we've been talking to you. And I think this does a good job of explaining on a per ton basis what's happened. So if you look at our provisional pricing, the combination of the P62 plus or minus any fixed sales or timing adjustments, less the freight to deliver our product to the customers, and that add in our premium achieved for the quality of our product, our provisional price was approximately $150 per ton for the quarter. Then let's talk about the provisional pricing adjustment. Again, there's really two elements to this. There's the final adjustment or settlement of shipments, what we refer to as QP settlements, and that had a negative impact of $53.1 million over the quarter, or $78 per dry metric ton if you divide that number by the total shipments during the quarter. The second element of the provisional price adjustment is the mark-to-market on open sales. As you can see, that had a negative $36.4 million impact based on 700,000 tons of open shipments subject to this adjustment at the end of the third quarter, which translates to $54 per dry metric ton when divided by our shipments during the quarter. Lastly, we did have an $8 per ton negative impact on other. This was primarily driven by demurrage incurred on vessels that were waiting to be loaded. As we've talked about, our production was lower than anticipated during the third quarter. Therefore, we had vessels waiting to berth and load, which translated to higher than anticipated demurrage costs during the quarter. All of these things added up translated to an $11 per ton realized price during the third quarter of 2021. Moving on to our cash cost per ton. Again, we'll spend some time talking about this. We've been through this in detail in the past, and we'll continue to do that. So on the right-hand side of this slide, we are looking at our cash cost, our all-in cash costs adjusted for value in use and delivered to the customer. And you can see that for 2020, on an actual basis, we achieved $86 per ton compared to over the last 12 months ended Q3 2021, we're at $102 per ton. Again, let's talk about this in some detail. So when you look at our mining cost, you can see that our mining cost has increased to $17 a ton from $14 a ton. Our processing crushing costs have increased to $28 a ton from $24 a ton. And our mine site G&A has increased to $4.50 a ton from $3.70. The reason for this is really twofold. First of all, as we were ramping up the business, we continue to staff up the operations to be able to produce at a 6 million ton per year run rate. In addition to that, we're making investments in short-term maintenance projects and contract labor to repair the plant to ensure that we can get our asset reliability up to where it needs to be. And the metric that we use to talk about this is really mill operating time. We expect our mill operating time to get up to approximately 90% or 89% once we have the plant dialed in and running like we know it will be. As we move down to transportation costs, first looking at our rail costs, you can see that over the last 12 months, our rail costs have increased to $24 from $15, and you can see why. So the base rate has not moved very much, but you can see price participation has increased to $9 a ton relative to $3.6 a ton. And our other costs, primarily, by the way, these would be contract minimums relative to the QNS&L contract, have increased to $6.8 a ton from $4. I want to reemphasize that once we get above the contract minimums, the other costs will move down close to, well, they'll move to a very low level, as again, the majority of that is take-or-pay contract minimums. And then the price participation is something that we've structurally built into the QNS&L contract in order to protect the business in an environment where the P62 price moves down. And remember that the starting point for the price participation is a P62 of $55 per ton. So we like the price participation element of this QNS&L contract. And you can see what the impact of it would be to the extent the business, or to the extent the iron ore market moves down to a P62 price of $55 per ton, that $9 would go to zero, and our rail haulage costs would move all the way down to $8 per ton. From a port cost perspective, as we've touched on in the past, this is primarily a fixed cost. And as our volumes come up, I'm absolutely confident that our port costs will move down to the levels that we need them to be at. Moving down lastly to royalties, you can see that our royalties were $11.60 per ton over the LTM compared to a 2020 actual of $8 per ton. And this is purely a function of the P62 price or the net selling price of our product. What does this all mean when we think about the ability of our business to generate EBITDA and cash flow in any iron ore pricing environment? We're capturing that in the lower left-hand side of this slide. Ultimately, I am confident that we will get to this $53 per ton on an all-in sustaining cost delivered to the customer and comparable to the 62 benchmark price of iron ore. And what that means is that in almost any iron ore market, we will be EBITDA accretive and cash flow accretive. I do want to point out one thing on this slide. You know, we saw the significant run up in the price of iron ore, and that was great. It skewed this table a little bit, such that, you know, from my perspective looking at this, it looks like that our profitability will be a lot less across the cycle, but it's really just a function of the scale, and this is something that will improve in the future. Moving to slide 13, you know, we've touched on a lot of this, but I'll move through our financial performance, including our tons sold and revenue. So you can see, you know, over the last 12 months, we've generated $478 million in revenue compared to $300 million 2020 actual. And our actual shipments of Tacora Premium Concentrate have increased to 3.1 million tons compared to 2.95 million tons for 2020. From an adjusted EBITDA perspective, over the last 12 months, we've generated $170 million in adjusted EBITDA compared to $72 million for 2020 actual. Keep in mind, you know, there's a great definition of adjusted EBITDA within the MD&A where we reconcile that income all the way to EBITDA and then adjusted EBITDA. From a CapEx perspective, over the last 12 months, we've invested $57 million compared to $16 million in 2020. Those projects are really on plan. Some of them have been completed. And as we touched on, the big three are underway and will allow us to get to 6 million tons per year on an annual basis. And then lastly, free cash flow. We continue to generate significant free cash flow despite the $100 per ton reduction in the price of iron ore experienced in the third quarter. Our free cash flow over the last 12 months is $113 million compared to $56 million in 2020. Let's spend some time talking about our cash balance. On slide 14, we have a detailed explanation in the form of a waterfall chart that shows why our cash or how our cash went from $129 to $129 million to $60 million at the end of the quarter. So you can see we were negatively impacted from a cash perspective or cash from operations by 69. Our working capital was slightly favorable during the quarter at $4.3 million. We continued to invest. We expended $23 million in CapEx. And there's a breakout down below. You can see the majority of that was spent at the Scully Mine. In fact, $21 million of the $23 million was spent at the Scully Mine. Recall that under the terms of our SAF hedging agreement, we had to cash collateralize any negative mark-to-market over $50 million. And at the end of the second quarter, our hedging collateral had increased to $83 million. You can see, again, due to the reduction in the price of iron ore, during the third quarter, we received all of that hedging collateral back, the entire $83 million. And then some of that went to pay for the $60 million in actual hedging losses that we incurred during the third quarter. We had some timing issue on bond costs and some repayment of debt during the third quarter, ultimately translating to a cash balance of $60 million as touched on at the end of the third quarter 2021. Moving on to slide 15, we put this, our current hedging portfolio slide back into the deck. I did get some questions on this leading up to the call, so I thought it would be good to put it back in. And we've bifurcated this really into two types of hedges. I think this warrants some explanation so that everybody understands what the difference in the Band-Aid color or the light yellow, faded yellow color is relative to the gray. So you can see, you know, we have effectively 200,000 tons hedged through the next 9 months. The light yellow or Band-Aid color hedges are what we refer to as the SAF hedges. Those are traditional swaps, and they're accounted for and flow through other losses and gains on the income statement versus the gray bars are different. So we want to talk about these. We've added some additional hedging activity for the period of January all the way through September of 2022. These contracts were done with Cargill, and they're really based on physical trade. Therefore, the accounting of these hedges will change, and the impact of these fixed price contracts will flow through revenue in the future. And obviously, as we think about protecting the business through the ramp up, we will or may choose to incrementally add hedging tons as we try and protect cash flow through the ramp up. And you can see we did do some of that. During the third quarter, we did add 50,000 tons per month of additional fixed price contracts at a strike price of $99. And we may look to add to that if there's an opportunity to increase the strike price on those hedges above $100 per ton. That concludes my prepared comments. The last slide, I think it's important, and I always want to recognize the team. And they say certainly thank you to all of our financial stakeholders for your support of Tacora. With that, Sarah, I'll turn it back over to you, and we would be happy to take questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Ilya Verpakovsky with Purpose Investments, Inc. Please go ahead.
Hey, Joe. So I just wanted to get a sense of, for the conveyor belt outage, what would have been the earnings power this quarter if that didn't happen? Because I see that you guys hedge 200K tons a month, so it's roughly all the tons you sold this quarter. So, like, my understanding is that it's unhedged earnings power. So what would it have been if the conveyor belt outage didn't happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, I think that if you look at history, Ilya, if you assume that let's call it the 11-day outage, we lost, you know, between 100 and 150,000 tons. The 100,000 tons, of course, would get us to our fully hedged level. Would have had a pretty significant impact on our cash cost per ton. Bringing that down at 100,000 tons, you probably would expect to call it a $10 per ton reduction in the cost per ton. At 150,000 tons, I think, you know, you probably would have seen a $15 reduction in the cost per ton. And of course, you know, those tons that were sold above the fully hedged level, we would have gotten the benefit of the market price at the time, which again would have been much higher than the strike price on these hedges. So it would have had a favorable impact. You know, I can't give you an exact number right now, but we can certainly circle back to that after the call.
Okay. I guess I was just interested in the revenue, the EBITDA number, push from that. And I guess my other question, if I could ask, so what would be the ramp up, in tonnage over, I guess, like this quarter, next quarter, as you guys get to second half, like how should I think about, tons going from now until then?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I think that we've given pretty good guidance here in terms of this year. I mean, we would expect to produce approximately 850,000 tons during the fourth quarter of this year. And you can, obviously, you know what the first 3 months of production are. You know that our guidance is 3.2 to 3.3 million tons. So I feel good about the production level in 2021. What I would say about next year is that, you know, I'm cautious about the ramp up in the first and second quarter of next year until we fully commission the Fines Bypass project. In the second half of the year, we would expect to see a material increase in production in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. And we are expecting to see improvement in the first quarter and second quarter of next year. We haven't provided that guidance, but I would expect to see, you know, some improvement in the first quarter and then some additional improvement in the second quarter. But certainly a step change moving into the third and fourth quarter of next year, as I stated, due to the implementation of the capital projects.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Phil Larson with Mill Street Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I really appreciate all the detail into, you know, the revenue and kind of all the items going into that. I just had a couple of questions around that just to make sure I've got my head totally wrapped around how it works. So the $53 million impact from the final QP settlements, that relates to tons that were shipped in Q2, correct?
Yep, it would have. Yep, that's exactly right. So if you think about a shipment, it's probably good about this, not just for you, but for others on the call. As you think about a shipment that, let's say, ships in April or shipped in April of 2021, that shipment, the QP is M plus 3 there. So we would have had exposure to the commodity price of iron ore for the month of July and it would have settled towards the end of July. Just like May shipment, we would have exposure to the commodity price of iron ore through the end of August. So our shipments are impacted in that manner as it relates to the commodity elements of the pricing formula.
Okay, that's very helpful. And then is it fair to say that, you know, that impact from the final settlements had an outsized impact on the realized price per ton in Q3 because you shipped more ore in Q2?
Yeah, that certainly has an impact as well, right? I mean, the fact that that we had about 1 million tons outstanding at the end of the second quarter that hadn't settled, and we shipped more ore, more specifically, during the second quarter, and then that was reduced. That certainly has an impact, but I, you know, the single biggest impact here is the $100 per ton in the P62 price of iron ore. And you can see it if you flip back to the slide where we're showing our quarterly operating performance in terms of production and shipments and our financial performance. You can see how we were benefiting from the run-up in the price of iron ore over the prior four quarters. And then because we lost all of that in one quarter, it was a meaningfully negative impact on our revenue.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay. I really appreciate all the clarity on this. And it's been very helpful. So thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Joe Broking for any closing remarks.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, listen, on behalf of Tacora, all of its stakeholders and its employees, I want to reemphasize thank you so much for your support of Tacora. I look forward to the next conference call and a meaningful improvement in business results. And to the extent anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Thanks, everybody.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.